Ezekiel's Fire, The Great Solar Cataclysm Straight Out of Prophecy by John Little. Copyright 2022. Narrated by the author. Conclusion. Our civilization is doomed. Spend any time reading your Bible and you will see this loudly and clearly. The only question is how our civilization will fall and when. Oh, and while we are asking questions, we'll want to know what will be our downfall. Like you, I spent most of my life in grim anticipation of the Antichrist. I knew that he was coming, and I knew that he would try to kill and destroy anything and everything that glorified God. However, as I began to understand how our civilization worked, I realized that this Antichrist would not rise in a time of peace. Something would need to happen to create the right conditions for his ascendance to world power. I didn't know what that something would be, but I knew that it would be big, and I knew that it would be painful. In fact, I realized that only something uniquely terrifying would cause the powerful people of this world to give up their power in favor of someone else. No one gives up power willingly, and the Antichrist will demand absolute and complete authority. Nothing will be allowed to defy him. And this absolute power will be global. How could this possibly occur? America would never allow someone like this to take control of the world. Neither would Russia, Europe, or China, not to mention India, Africa, and the Middle East. No one would ever stand aside as such a person rose to power. But what if their ability to never allow was taken from them? Over the years, I've struggled to understand how it could be possible, but I struggle no longer. I now know why the nations of the world will be powerless to resist the Antichrist. Ezekiel's fire will knock down our civilization, and the Antichrist will turn the lights back on. He will probably be considered a savior of civilization, the hero who brought back a modern way of life, offering comfort and modernity to all who worship him. He might even be the one who ends the chaos and violence that will rule the world in the aftermath of this massive solar event. All of that and more is possible. Of course, I'm just speculating. You and I want to do as little of that as possible, so this book has stuck to as many certainties as possible, and I truly wish that I could be less confident in what will happen. When God spoke to Ezekiel of a fire that would descend upon the world, he wasn't talking about volcanoes, earthquakes, tsunamis, or a really bad hailstorm. All of that will probably happen, but God spoke of fire coming down. That fire can only be a solar nova event or something very much like it. Isaiah confirms this by passing on to us the message that the sun will become 7 times brighter and the moon will shine as brightly as the sun. Only a nova event could do that, a micronova. And astronomers have already seen civilization-killing superflares from stars that are exactly like our own. Unfortunately, the nova event that is coming will make those superflares look like a pop gun. Zechariah confirms this by speaking of effects that are remarkably similar to those of an EMP. But this electromagnetic pulse comes from God. And as we look at the other prophets who speak of the time that we live in, they too offer a chilling confirmation. Furthermore, a vast global earthquake will destroy cities across the world. Very few buildings will be left standing. I doubt that very many city dwellers will survive. I hope that I'm wrong about this, but the prophets have spoken, and there is science that agrees. Unfortunately, lots of teachers have risen to scratch our itching ears with tales of how we will escape the need to worry about what is coming. These stories have been circulating among us for 200 years. They've twisted our Bibles and corrupted our understanding of God's Word. I know that what I have said is horrifying and something that you would like to ignore. It is normal to avoid thinking about such terrible news, but avoiding the truth will not save you. To put it another way, you can ignore the truth, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring the truth. Unfortunately, Ezekiel's fire is only that last act in a series of events that will destroy our way of life. I talk about this nova event as killing billions, but many will have died long before this, as the four horsemen of the apocalypse ride through our lives. They have already begun to move, and the suffering has already started, but that's a topic for another time. The science. Let's take a moment to review the science that lies behind the prophecies that we've discussed. A determined solar physicist, Dr. Kazunari Shibata, has made it clear to anyone paying attention that our sun will one day knock down our civilization. The explosions of light coming from stars just like our own is proof that our sun is going to knock out electricity generation around the world, and there's no way that we are ready for this. Just a repeat of the 1859 Carrington event would be bad enough, but our sun will one day hit us with something thousands of times more powerful than that, and it has everything to do with solar magnetism. Our sun is a gigantic magnet that generates magnetic fields that cover our solar system and that protect us from cosmic radiation. Unfortunately, these magnetic fields get twisted before exploding into sometimes massive solar flares, and we don't really understand all of that. Yes, we have theories about how the sun generates magnetic fields. We also have theories about how those fields get bent out of shape, but those theories are not able to help us predict what is coming. They can only try to explain the events that have already happened. Take the Carrington event. It was an X-45 class solar flare that dumped a massive amount of electromagnetic energy on Earth. It melted telegraph wires and set telegraph stations on fire. If an X-45 solar flare hit us today, electricity would go out everywhere in the world, and maybe a billion people would die as a result. But we also know that an electromagnetic pulse, or EMP, can do far, far more damage than that. We know about EMPs because we discovered what they could do in the 60s, when we exploded nuclear weapons high up in our atmosphere and in low Earth orbit. We discovered that an EMP can do more than just destroy electricity generation. It can also permanently damage sensitive electronics. Computers, cars, trucks, planes, and trains will no longer operate when hit with a sufficiently strong EMP, and Ezekiel's fire will be more than sufficient. Just as bad will be the global earthquake that knocks everything down when our sun turns 7 times bright. And there is some science behind that as well, the reverse piezoelectric effect. It's what happens when you dump lots of electromagnetic energy into a rock, making it expand and move. When enough rock under the Earth's surface moves, there will be an earthquake. And those earthquakes will destroy every city on the planet. Unfortunately, science is not able to tell the whole story. Part of the reason is that the scientific method can only prove what can be tested. And it has been thousands of years since we've had something like Ezekiel's fire. The other problem is scientists. Scientists are people, with all the foibles and foolishness that indicates. Because our scientists did not think that our sun could produce superflares, we did not look for them on stars like our own sun. It took a maverick Japanese scientist working with young students to discover that our sun can do what our scientists refuse to believe. The evidence is conclusive, but solar physicists are still refusing to accept the obvious. Even if the Bible did not prophesy our destruction, billions of dollars in telescope equipment are telling us that the sun will knock us down at some time in the future, and they're saying that we are overdue for a really, really big one. The good thing is that we have something far, far better than flawed science. We have the Bible, and it also speaks doom for our future. The Bible. I will always trust the Bible over flawed science on anything. And the Bible has given us plenty of warning about what is coming. And of all the books of the Bible, these give us the most clear information about Ezekiel's fire. Isaiah, Zechariah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Micah, Zephaniah, Revelation. Their primary focus wasn't to warn us of this event. This seems to be an afterthought. Even the book of Revelation gives more space to the salvation of Israel, Revelation 7, than to the terrible destruction that happens at the same time. And as much as I dread the coming of Ezekiel's fire, I'm definitely looking forward to the children of Jacob returning to God. God wants his people to return to him and thrive in the years that follow Ezekiel's fire. If you also wish to flourish and prosper in the aftermath of Ezekiel's fire, you need to take this warning seriously. Some of us will not survive this event no matter what we do, but that's okay, as long as we continue to serve the Lord to the last possible moment. And that is the point, serving the Lord. It would be a waste of time to try and preserve a self-indulgent, carnal, and foolish life. If you don't serve the Lord to the best of your ability every day, then I need to ask you about your purpose in life. Do you know that you will stand before God when this life is over? I find it strange that most people do not think about that very much. Our job is all about eternity for ourselves and for others. There can literally be no other purpose of any value. So as you think of preparing for Ezekiel's fire, make sure that your heart is towards God and that your purpose is eternal life in Christ for yourself and everyone around you. But before we talk about preparation, let's summarize what we've seen so far in the Bible. Ezekiel 39:6 and Isaiah 30:26. This is the verse that launched my thoughts on this subject, quote, "And I will send a fire on Magog, and on them that dwell securely in the isles, and they shall know that I am Jehovah." Close quote, Ezekiel 39:6, ASV. I did not understand that verse until I saw the connection with this one, quote, "Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wound." Close quote. Isaiah 30:26, NKJV. Of course, I had to read that verse many times and didn't understand it until I started researching the idea of a solar electromagnetic pulse for completely different reasons. Ezekiel 39:3. "Once I saw the connection, I saw how God would do this to Gog and Magog when they come down to attack Israel. Quote, "Then I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand." Close quote, Ezekiel 39:3, NKJV. A Nova event like Ezekiel's fire would certainly cause the bow, missile launcher, to fall out of your left hand and the arrows, missiles, out of your right. Zechariah 12:4. And then this became clear, quote, "In that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness." Close quote. Zechariah 12:4, NKJV. We've never seen a solar event as big as Ezekiel's fire, but we've seen stars like our own produce super flares that would do just as much damage as Ezekiel's fire. And we know what an EMP can do. If your car, aka horse, is within range of an EMP weapon when it explodes, well, that horse or car will go blind. In fact, it won't even start. Isaiah 30:30. Isaiah 30:26 introduced us to the idea of a Nova event. 4 verses later, we see the devouring fire. Quote, "The Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard and show the descent of his arm. With the indignation of his anger and the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering tempest and hailstones." Close quote, Isaiah 30:30, NKJV. A Nova event like Ezekiel's fire would certainly burn down our civilization, and I bet that parts of the earth would be more than a little scorched. Ezekiel 38:19 and 20. Then God adds a gigantic cataclysmic earthquake, bigger than anything since the Great Flood. Quote, "For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken, surely. In that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground." Close quote. Ezekiel 38:19 and 20, NKJV. Astrophysicists are beginning to see how solar flares can influence earthquakes, and this will be a gigantic example of that connection. Isaiah 30:25 and 26. Isaiah also makes the same connection that Ezekiel does. Quote, "There will be on every high mountain and on every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wound." Close quote. Isaiah 30, 25 and 26 in KJV. My hope is that you've gotten the picture, that you see Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Zechariah tied together around a single event, Ezekiel's fire and the salvation of Israel. However, we aren't done yet. Isaiah 13, 10 to 13 and 14:1. There are more prophecies, and this one talks about the aftermath of Ezekiel's fire. Quote, "For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger." Close quote. Isaiah 13, 10 to 13, NKJV. This solar event will kick out a massive cloud of dust out into our solar system. That dust will cool quickly as it races past Earth, and all that dust will darken our view of the sun and moon and then darken the stars. This cloud of dust will eventually dissipate, but for months and maybe years, we will be unable to see the stars in the sky. The world will have indeed been punished, and so many will die that a man will be more rare than fine gold. And what is it that ties this passage to Ezekiel's fire? This verse here. Quote, "For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will still choose Israel and settle them in their own land. The strangers will be joined with them, and they will cling to the house of Jacob." Close quote. Isaiah 14:1, NKJV. Isaiah 14:1 is a continuation of the prophecy that began in Isaiah 13. And this is clearly the salvation of Israel. And no, this is not the Great Tribulation. I laid out the timing for all of this in When Gog Comes. And I truly wish that I was wrong. There is just no way that this happens during the tribulation or after. And we have to stop twisting the Bible. It's a sin to distort the Bible like our teachers have been doing for 200 years. For the sake of Israel and the body of Christ, we must repent of this and listen to what God is actually telling us. But let's keep going. Jeremiah 30:11. Jeremiah 30 also talks about the moment when Israel is saved, but adds a particularly ominous note for all of us. Quote, "For I am with thee, saith Jehovah, to save thee, for I will make a full end of all the nations whither I have scattered thee. But I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will in no wise leave thee unpunished." Close quote. Jeremiah 30:11, ASV. Everywhere that the Jews have been scattered to will be destroyed. Jeremiah 30:16 and 17. And then God reemphasizes this in verses 16 and 17. Quote, "Therefore all those who devour you shall be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plunder, and all who prey upon you I will make a prey. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her." Close quote. Jeremiah 30:16-17, NKJV. That, I'm afraid, will be Ezekiel's fire. And yes, because we turned our back on Zion and persecuted the Jews, all of this will happen as God describes. Jeremiah 30:23-24. What should catch your attention the most are the last two verses of chapter 30. Quote, "Behold, the tempest of Jehovah, even his wrath, is gone forth, a sweeping tempest. It shall burst upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of Jehovah shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall understand it." Close quote. Jeremiah 30, 23 and 24, ASV. Many want to say that this is the aftermath of the Great Tribulation, but even though this sounds a lot like the judgment described by God in the latter part of Revelation, it actually fits with Revelation 6, which occurs before the Antichrist. And yes, that is discussed in my other book, When Gog Comes. Then there's that phrase, "In the latter days ye shall understand it." That should make you stop and think. It means that something about the last days will help you understand what is coming. Either that, or the Holy Spirit holds back our understanding of this moment in time until the last days begin, or both. Feel free to vote for both. We know what Ezekiel's fire is, and we know what it will do to our technological society. Therefore, I think that this is a big reason for why we will understand what God is saying to us through Jeremiah. In the latter days, ye shall understand it. Just 100 years ago, no one would have had a clue about the dangers of this incredible moment in time. Now we do, but if we do not get it until afterwards, we'll certainly understand then. Micah 5. Micah says this, quote, "And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that I will cut off your horses from your midst and destroy your chariots. I will cut off the cities of your land and throw down all your strongholds," close quote. Micah 5, 10 and 11, NKJV. Let's see. Horses and chariots don't work. Cities destroyed. Strongholds fall. Ah, yes, Ezekiel's fire. Then, 4 verses later, it says this, quote, "And I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard," close quote. Micah 5, 15, KJV. Again, what does Micah speak of? The sanctification and salvation of Israel. So, the vengeance, anger, and wrath that God pours out upon the nations will be Ezekiel's fire, and Ezekiel's fire will destroy the horses, cars and motorcycles, and chariots, tanks, and APCs. It will also destroy cities and military installations. Zephaniah 3:8. Then comes Zephaniah 3. The book of Zephaniah starts off with a litany of Israel's many, many transgressions, but makes an abrupt change with this verse, quote, "Therefore wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy," close quote. Zephaniah 3:8, NKJV. That, is a very unsettling statement, to say the very least. Very unsettling. Again, this is not the wrath of God as described in Revelation. I wish that it was, really do. What does Zephaniah 3 talk about? The salvation of Israel, and not the wrath of God that occurs when Jesus returns. Summarizing the summary, you can twist any one of these verses that I've shown you and make them say something else. But you cannot do that to all of these verses when you look at them together. The context of every one of these verses is the salvation of Israel, every one of them. And this means that when Israel returns to God, our civilization as we know it will be destroyed. And I proved the timing of this in my book, When Gog Comes. All of this must come before the Antichrist, and it's pretty clear that Ezekiel's fire is the deadly wound of Revelation 13. Remember that the beast that rises out of the sea appears to be a combination of the empires that rose and fell for the past millennia, much like Nebuchadnezzar's image. But one of the heads of this seven-headed beast has a deadly wound that needs to be healed, and that becomes the eighth head. Someone brings back our high-tech civilization, and it looks like the Antichrist is the one who makes it happen, or at least that red dragon. This is my interpretation of Revelation, but it fits the other prophecies far better than the ones that claim that the Antichrist is assassinated and brought back to life. Daniel 11 does not refer to such an assassination. Please prepare. So now that you know what's coming, you can do something to prepare. It should not be your biggest reason, but it can certainly be a part of our service to God. And some of our preparations will be valuable for the time that has now begun, the ride of the four horsemen of Revelation 6. Cities will be dangerous, Having extra food for yourself and others will be a good idea. Preparing for a life without electricity will be vital. Living near people you can trust will save your life. And the most important preparation of all will be a daily investment in your life in Christ. If we aren't reading our Bible and seeking to obey what we read, there's very little hope for us. It is literally the least that we can do for the one who came, died, and rose again so that we could have eternal life. May the Lord God of heaven and earth guide and protect you in the difficult days ahead. Ezekiel's Fire, The Great Solar Cataclysm Straight Out of Prophecy by John Little. Copyright 2022, narrated by the author.